Good Monday morning. Welcome to Out from the Cube. I am your host, George Evian, and it has been a long time since we've recorded an episode, and a lot has happened over the past month or two that I'm excited to fill you in about if you've listened to this with any regularity. I'm excited about, updating people with what's been going on and where I'm at and how excited I am about 2020 and excited about today and this week. So people have been reached out to me wanting to know when the podcast or what was going on. I guess I would say this. Two things come to mind immediately. One is just some things have changed in my life where I've been immersed in a number of other things. One of them being I got a new job, actually. Was very thankful and grateful for the opportunities at my old job, wound up getting a job as a coach, a technical coach or an agile coach for a company here in St. Louis, and have been doing that for the past month or so. And it's been really exciting about that. And I'm sure I'll get into things I'm learning there, things I'm learning about, you know, teams and leadership and motivation and technology and agile and the things that I'm into professionally. So that was one thing. I've just been so immersed in that and it, and all the other stuff that kind of goes along with that and the time. And there have been some other things going on personally that have taken my time away. So I haven't had a ton of time to sit and get going with the podcast, but I wrote down my goals for this week and for the rest of this year in December and moving into 2020 and what was going to be important and valuable to me. And the podcast is at the top of the list. I've received some great feedback over the past couple of weeks on people that have listened to the podcast, and then that has really just meant the world to me. It's one of these things. I was driving some kids to school the other day. I had a minivan, a gold Town and Country minivan, 2011, 180,000 miles on it, taking kids to school, and I was just super excited about the day. But I essentially told them this. This was my message as we drove to school. I was like, the most important thing and the most uplifting thing that you can do in your life. I was talking to all of them, but my two kids were in the car and we try to have these messages or themes or things for them to consider throughout the day. But it, on a very high level, it was just to go through your day trying to figure out that you can provide value to someone, that you can uplift somebody, give somebody something to consider or something to think about, or maybe something that can make their day better and be of service, be of value to other people. And I felt like that with this new job that I'm going in and really trying to every day, trying to provide value to the team, the organization, the product, the people, like all that sort of stuff, and just have that be the mindset. And I feel like I have, not in an arrogant sort of way, but I just like am returning home at the end of the day saying, every single day since I've started that new job, I have gone home and said, man, that was the best day. Because I feel like what I'm doing matters. I feel like I'm providing some value or some insight or a perspective maybe people or the organization like didn't have before. And there's something just so gratifying about that I told these kids driving to school, like, we just got done working out. I was like, you know what? I feel really good about the day. It's like 7:20 in the morning and I'm looking at these kids who range from third grade all the way up to eighth grade. I'm like, I feel good about the day simply because I felt like we had a great morning workout that I helped you guys develop, that I felt like I provided value to you at 6:30 in the morning and it's now 7:20. And I feel really good about my day. There's something gratifying about that. And that leads me to this point, and it just triggered into my mind. I was reading, there's some other things going on I'll mention here in a second, just in terms of some training and coaching that I'm doing on the side and getting some certifications. But I'm reading this book called Leadership Gold. Leadership Gold by John Maxwell. And you're going to start hearing a lot more about John Maxwell in my podcast. But this the chapter I was reading was about it being lonely at the top or being lonely as a leader and kind of drawing some conversation about that thought because we've heard that before. But essentially the point that I want to make is Maxwell was interviewing a rock climber and a mountain guide. And this gentleman had scaled Everest and had reached the summit maybe multiple times. I don't know. And he was then a guide. It would have to be multiple times based off what I'm about to say. He then said he was a guide helping people reach the summit of Everest. And they were talking about what is the most gratifying. And he said, without question, the question was something along the lines, what's the most gratifying thing you've done as a mountain climber? Something along those lines. And he said, the most gratifying thing is getting other people to the summit. Taking people to the top. I've done it. It is amazing to do. But now I get to take people with me. And I get to see them at the top. I get them to kick off a bucket list item. I get them to achieve a goal. I get them to do something they didn't think was possible. And I get them to the summit. And that, without question, is the most impactful thing to him. This is what a mountain guide said that does Everest. And so the story there is, man, just providing value, helping people reach goals, help people be their best self. Like, that is the most gratifying thing. So the lesson really from Maxwell this morning was, you know, providing that value to other people, that leaders build other leaders. The two things I'm going to flip here in my book, the last two things I wrote down this morning in my book, leaders distinguish themselves. That's not it. That's last Friday. I will come back to that though. The thing from this morning was, exceptional leaders do two things. This is from Maxwell. Exceptional leaders do two things. They develop other leaders and they work themselves out of a job. Right? That mindset of, man, what if every boss, every leader that you have right now, think of, you know, the best boss you've ever had or the worst boss you've ever had. You know, if you think about that best boss that is like sitting there going, man, he really developed me. That mindset of, and we've said this many times in the podcast, of when I drive in and I'm going to think about my team and each member of my team, what do they need? How can I help? How can I serve? How can I develop? What do they need? How can I help? How can I serve? How can I develop? How can I develop that person to be a leader? To be, what are their goals? Do they want to speak? Do they want to lead? Do they want to run projects? Do they want to be the best salesman? Do the best saleswoman? Like, what is it that I can do to help them reach their goals every single day? How can I help develop other leaders that will then subsequently develop other leaders? How can I do that? And so that's the idea of this mountain climber. And when I think about this, I was really thinking, when I heard this kind of the leaders develop other leaders, and we've all heard this before, but I wonder how much we really do that. Maxwell is drawing some, you know, this mindset of, well, if you're up there and you are so wrapped up in you, and all you are worried about is your title, your position, positional leadership or relationary and relationship-based leadership. If you're so wrapped up in your position, title, pay grade, responsibilities, then that will, and you are wrapped up in you, then you will ultimately be the one that is pushing people off the mountain when you play King of the Hill as a kid. Like, this is my mountain. I'm going to do a number of things to make sure that you don't get to where I'm at, that I keep you at an arm's length. People quit. Here's some things from Maxwell as well this morning that just kind of triggered. That people quit. People don't quit people. People don't quit companies. People quit people. And that really resonated with me this morning. But then he went over this, and there's four or five different things here. I'm just going to go into one of them right now. But people quit people who are untrustworthy. And then he has this kind of five things about what is an untrustworthy person, that they care more about personal gain than shared gain. Personal gain. So that's the king of the mountain. That's me. I care more about me, my position, my title, my review, my development than I do about the people underneath me. My hope would be is that I can be with this new company, that I can be a leader, a coach, for this company and these teams that I'm in charge of. I wouldn't even say it that way. The teams that I am privileged to work with, I'm not in charge. I'm just trying to offer perspective and suggestions on a way to kind of get work to flow, right? But that I can be that person and sit there and just kind of be that humble servant, right? And just lead and just, but do whatever we can to get work flowing, have them enjoy their jobs, have them enjoy one another, have them go to being the best team in the company and have them have that acknowledgement and recognition for it, right? That would be the best. Personal gain over shared gain. The other one would be withholding information. That I've seen this so many times in the software world where there are people that withhold information so they know that they're valuable. They're the only people with it. They don't want other people to do their job. They like being the bottleneck. They like people coming to them saying, I need this from you, instead of cross-training or making sure other people know how to do their job. That's not shared. That is not a shared gain group. Shared gain. Personal gain over a shared gain. Like, this is about us. This is about the team. This is about this process and flow and work and sales. Have you all had those bosses that were untrustworthy? They cared about they're sitting on the top of the mountain. Battery might die here. So my first podcast back and I don't have enough batteries in the battery case here. Personal gain over shared gain. And you can say that as somebody that is following the leader or looks at the boss. You know it. You know that's true and you've seen it. Or they withhold information. Or they lie. Here's the third point. They lie or tell half-truths. You can't trust them. Like, they're untrustworthy, but you know what they're saying isn't going to be delivered. Or they're saying half-truths or not giving you all the information. Or only giving you enough information to get the job going, but not to complete it. Things of that nature. What about the boss that is untrustworthy because they are too closed-minded, that they're not receptive or open to other opinions, right? It's great to have that boss that sits across from you and says, and is presented a problem and then sits there with the group, with other people, or maybe even goes away and comes back to other people and says, hey, I see this coming. What's your perspective? What's something we're missing? That is a great line in leadership, I think, and I'm learning. What am I missing here? Something's not right. When something goes wrong with teams, my perspective, when something isn't going right with teams, there's a lot of blame that goes around. I started this Maxwell book, the Leadership Gold book, which is really good. I think it's an older book, which is fine. It's a great book. Somebody recommended a book to me called, it's slipping my mind right now, and it'll come back to me in a second. But the idea of this book really centers around blame and justification is what this book's about. Here's the example they give, and I love it. This is a great example, I think, and it's interesting how it plays out in a corporate professional landscape. So the book talks about this scenario where somebody, you're laying in bed and you have a 3 or 4 or 9 month old in the other room and the baby's crying, screaming. And it's 2 in the morning. And you're sitting there going, I need to get up and take care of my son or daughter so my wife can sleep. So that is my mind. That is what I'm thinking. Like, that would be the right thing to do, right? So instead of doing that, I'm not compelled to act on that, is kind of what they say. Like, you're compelled to do these things and then you don't do it. I'm not thinking of her. I say, no, I'm not going to do it. But then I start thinking about her. Why isn't she getting up? What is she doing? Doesn't she know I work hard? Doesn't she know that I have to be up in 3 hours to go to work? Doesn't she know I had a bad day at work yesterday? So what you start doing is you start blaming. But what they say is this: you start magnifying their faults. You start magnifying their faults. I believe the book is called Self-Deception. So I'm deceiving myself. It's called self-betrayal and self-deception. I'm sitting there and I betrayed myself because I'm sitting there going, man, I need to get up and help her. I need to let her sleep and I need to go do it. I'm not. I'm going to do it. Let's see if she moves. Man, she's not moving. Doesn't she know all this? And so I magnify her faults based on what I want to have happen. But then on the flip side, I'm justifying my behavior, right? I sit there and go, man, I'm a good husband. Like, I've gotten up the past three or four nights and I work hard and I do this and I do that and I serve her and I do all this sort of stuff. So I'm building myself up and I'm diminishing her value. So now all of a sudden they call it in the box or out of the box. I am out of the box in this thinking. I am not thinking in, or I'm in the box. I need to be out of the box. Always thinking of others, always thinking of how I can serve, always thinking about that. Because it's funny, because then you sit there in this blame game of blaming her and magnifying her faults and justifying my behavior and justifying my actions and the things I've done and building myself up to be great, when the reality is this. Man, if I had just got up, I would have sat there and felt good that I served her, helped her, let her sleep. And if I had that mindset of moving forward and getting out of bed and going across and maybe stepping on Legos and jamming my toes and all that and having to turn my phone on so I can have some light and then going and taking care of my son. But if I sat there and said, man, I'm letting her sleep, like I'm serving her. And even being and having that, being grateful for that, but also even being like, kind of arrogant about it. Yeah, I'm helping her. But then she also knows the baby's crying. She knows it. She heard it. Him or her. She heard him or her. And she's sitting there going, man, he got up. And what a great guy. He is a great person. He is. And you just get in. Now you're in a totally different cycle. So that's this book, Self-Deception and Leadership. And it is as good a leadership book that I've read in a while. It is phenomenal. It changed. But it's this whole mindset of how you think about other people, how you think about the team, how you serve them, how you need to act on what you're compelled to do. But there, it's not. It's one of these things that you got to be aware and cautious and an eye open for the person that is always thinking of other people and always executing on other people, and the person that is not, the person that is in their box and always thinking about themselves and always critical and blaming and all that, and you're not, and how you can kind of crack them. And we'll get into another podcast about that, because I'm still trying to reconcile that through this book, Self-Deception and Leadership by the Arbinger Institute. It was a great book that requires reading a couple times by me. But it is really thinking of other people and being of a servant mindset and doing it that way. It's not that things aren't going to go well. Things are going to go poorly at times. But you got to always have that where you're not in that judgment role, that blame role, that magnification of failure role, that justifying your behavior and puffing your chest up about how great you are. And your perspective and your education and your accomplishments. Doesn't matter. Because this book states, and I really like it, with this new job that I have, it is spot on. All this stuff that we talk about on this podcast about servant leadership and working and thinking of others and working hard and executing and communicate, blah, 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 all that. Those are all kind of like the ends to the, you know, the means to the end. The end is results. The end is results. At the bottom line, if you're a basketball coach, the results are you need to graduate your players and you need to win basketball games. You can win a lot of basketball games and have a bunch of knuckleheads that don't graduate, that don't do well in school, that skip classes. You might lose your job. You could have a 4.0 student body or 4.0 team. Everybody gets A's. Everybody's in class. Everybody's in study hall. And then you go 0-30. I'm not sure how many years that's going to fly either. The end of the day, it's all about results. The means to the end. But I believe in all the means. I believe in communicating. I believe in a relational leadership viewpoint, that it's not going to be a positional leadership. People go because of relationship issues. If you're leading your team, this was a Maxwell statement today. People don't leave companies, people leave people. And people go because of relationship issues. So you have to lead in a sense of building those relationships. Maxwell also said this. This was something that he struggled with in his early 20s. He struggled with, his dad told him, as a leader, keep people at a distance. Don't let people get close to you. So he didn't didn't heed that advice. And the first go around that he had in a leadership where he was hiring people and building a team, that people were doing things behind his back. And he had to let him go, but he was close to him. Or he developed these great relationships and ended up taking a different job. And people said he let him down. But he let those people close and he got bit. So then he tried to have this distance on this third or fourth gig. I'm just going to be real distant with this. I'm not going to let anybody close. But that wasn't him, and that wasn't what he felt would work. It was too positional. It was too much of them always doing. He just didn't get close with those people. And so he wound up believing and preaches and teaches that the great leaders are the ones where it's about the relationships. And people stay. And people will work in the software world. People will work on crappy software, crappy technologies, old antiquated systems. And they'll stay there for a long, long time because of relational leadership. Relationship, right? So that's how you have to, I think I'm rolling into where I'm running teams now at this new place with people that I have don't know. They don't know me. It's the first time I've met them. And the number one thing that we have to do, I forgot who said this past week. I wrote it down in my notebook, but it's all going to be about if the end result is results, the first thing is to be connected. And I know this stuff, I'm telling you, to certain people is very, you know, up in the cloud type stuff. But if you don't connect with your people and have them believing that they can do anything and be anything and have anything and accomplish anything, and that you got them rolling in the right direction, and that they might go from the worst team to the best team, and you believe in them, and we're going to develop skills and all that, you got to connect. Jason Wells, who's been on this show many times, that is his word of 2019, was connection. Just to connect with people. Connection, and then you get to your commitment. Connection to commitment to results. To results. It's all about getting the results that you want as a sales team, a software team, or an athletic team. But we've got to be connected. And the more connected we are, the stronger the commitment. It's interesting how we played a basketball game yesterday. This may not be the best analogy or anything to this, but we played, our winter session started yesterday. Those that listen to the podcast know I have two young boys and we do a lot of basketball. Spent the whole day yesterday, basketball. And it's interesting. We've added a player to our group and he's really good. Like, we added a player that is probably our best. He is really good, really fast, can shoot it, can handle it. Unbelievable work ethic and blah, blah, all this sort of stuff. Now, we're talking about fifth graders, but the kid is good. And yesterday, and we've played with him before. We played with him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we played with him yesterday. And when we played with him 3 or 4 weeks ago, we did really well. Probably the best weekend of basketball we've had, and we just did really well. And we won all our games in some little tournament. It was great. But here's my point about this. Man, we brought somebody new in that plays at a different level in terms of energy, effort, focus, commitment, skill, energy, communication, like the whole thing. We brought somebody in that is an A. Now, he's a fifth grader. He's got work to do. But he's an A-plus at everything in terms of where he's at and the people he's playing against. A-plus at everything. All I know is this. When we played yesterday, most of our team did everything they could to play at his level. To play at his level. Their commitment, their focus, their energy, their work ethic, their commitment was all up at that level. So we got an A-plus player, and the tide rises all boats. And I'm sitting there with my two sons on this team saying, that's who I want my kids to play with. And it's not just him. We have other kids that are just like that. I'm sitting around going, as a father, not their coach, I'm sitting there as a father saying, that is exactly who I want my boys to play with. Because my boys love basketball. I think they're somewhat skilled and they love it. And we're teaching life lessons and all that sort of stuff. And the point being, that those kids, this environment, this culture is going to rise my children, being selfish, my boys, up to another level. And it's not just about basketball. It's about understanding that commitment. So all that basketball story about fifth grade basketball, and now we'll leverage it back into professional, the professional world. Man, you get those people that are committed, and that's going to get everybody else committed. You've got to be connected. You've got to get those people on your team and get a connection to them that they will look you in the eye, they will ask what you need, and they will go execute on that because they know that they're connected and committed and connected to you. Their commitment is going to rise, and then hopefully more people jump on board with that commitment. They have to. You have to get your people to have that commitment to the team, to each other, to the process, to the product, to the sales, to the business, all the way through. Man, if you could just have that level of commitment. Now, the company I'm working at now is pretty big. It's big in St. Louis and it's big across the world. It's a global company. But I'm sitting around saying, man, how can we get connected to everybody here? How can we change the culture? How can we enhance the culture and develop the culture to where everybody's connected, everybody's committed, and everybody's supporting one another towards the results? And that's probably a whole nother podcast, but I know that as a leader, I'm going to say these things real quick. People quit people who devalue them. People quit people who are untrustworthy. People quit people who are incompetent. And fourth, people quit people who are insecure. So think about this. Man, devalue the team, be an untrustworthy leader, be incompetent, not know what's going on, or be insecure as a leader. So I'm running these teams. You're running your basketball teams. You're running your sales team. You're running your business team. Don't devalue your people. They're important. They're valuable. Connect with them. Get them to be committed. Show that, be connected to them, and then show them you're committed to them. Not as a developer or a basketball player or a football player or as a salesperson, but that you value them as people and their development. Man, go build them up. Make them the best salesperson they could ever possibly be. Give them every resource, tool, and suggestion that they could possibly need to be the best that they can be on your team. And if they leave and go open a competing shoe shop, then high five them, give them a hug, and say, man, I'm glad I helped you. Don't devalue them. Value them as people. Value them on the contribution they do every single day to your team. Don't be untrustworthy. Be a leader that people can count on, that you say what you mean. Do this. Don't be untrustworthy. Value. Don't do personal gain over shared gain. Always put the shared and the results and the team and the gains there first. Don't withhold information from your team. Let everybody know everything. I believe that. Don't lie to them. Don't tell them half-truths. Tell them everything they need to know to execute to get the results. Don't be closed-minded. You don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. They have a good perspective. They have original thought that you haven't thought of. And then make sure you act consistently with what you say or do. Acting inconsistently with what they say or do. Don't do that. And then the other one is don't be incompetent. Do everything you can to educate yourself, to be well-versed, and be safe and secure enough to say, I don't know, but I will find out. And then the last one is don't be insecure. Don't be insecure about any of this stuff. Like, understand that you're developing these teams and these peoples and these people and these products, and you're doing everything you can to get the results. Connect, commit, get the results that you want. And then remember, exceptional leaders do two things. They just develop other leaders. It had me thinking about, in terms of basketball, when I was growing up and coaching, there are certain coaches that have a coaching tree that is so long and lengthy. I remember growing up and thinking about Rick Pitino and seeing all of Rick Pitino's disciples all over the landscape of college basketball. All over. Because you really had this feeling like, man, If you work for Patino, like he's helping you, or Mike Krzyzewski, he's helping you develop so you can be a head coach. I remember a coach saying, man, if you come here as an assistant coach and you don't want to be a head coach, don't come here. If you want to be a head coach, I'm going to develop you to be one. If you want to be a CEO, a CTO, a director, a senior VP, do all that, hey, come work for me because I'm going to develop you to be one. We're always going to be thinking about what we can do together to help develop you to get you to the next leader, even if it costs me my job. And then I would see basketball coaches that were super intelligent and smart and knowledgeable and winning and winning and winning. And their assistants never went anywhere. And it's not that maybe those assistants wanted to stay there. I've done that. Like, man, I just love it here. Like, I get that. But there are other assistants that were sitting around saying, I want to be a head coach. I want to do this. But man, I'm not supported. I'm not helped. I'm not trained. I'm not developed, blah, 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 blah. If I could only work for Patino or Krzyzewski, right? And those trees, you know, the John Wooden tree, actually at the Hall of Fame, I believe, or the College Basketball Hall of Fame in Kansas City. I took my boys to it a couple months ago, and they actually have the family coaching tree of John Wooden, and it is lengthy. John Wooden coached in the 60s, and there are people right now in 2019-20 that have a lineage to Coach Wooden because he trained people to be leaders. He trained leaders, he trained his assistants and his people to be head coaches. So I wonder where we are with that. Your job, exceptional leaders do two things. This, I'm not suggesting this is all they do, but exceptional leaders do two things really well. They develop other leaders and then they work themselves out of a job. I'm interested on where you're at. I'm interested on where I'm at. New job? Man, there's a lot here. Don't devalue people. Be trustworthy. Don't be incompetent. Be secure with who you are, what you know, what you're trying to deliver, and the outcomes and the results you're trying to create. How can we do that? How can you roll in every day this week and do those things for your team and get your team to the next level? I would say I'm super passionate about this new gig because I've already told them, man, I have this vision on where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing, and how we're going to be leaned on, and what people are going to want to know about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and the outcomes and results that we're getting. And I already know what this is going to look like, and I'm excited about helping us get there. It's going to be awesome. Now, it's going to take time, and there's probably going to be some battles and some arguments and disagreements and all that. But if we're connected and if we're all committed to the process and the results, then it will equal the great results that we will see in August, September, October. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I know it. Now, you know, I remember Coach Majerus, an old coach, said he took over at St. Louis University, and St. Louis University hasn't been good for a long time. And he said, we did it at Ball State. We did it at Utah. We did it at Marquette. We did it at all the places, and we'll do it here because I know it works. And just get connected, get people committed, understand the process, because I know what it's going to look like, and I know what the results will be, and I know how it will feel, and I know how together we will be because we've done it before. So I hope that I'm really excited to be back with you. I'm really excited about the podcast. I am going to say this. The old company I was at sponsored our podcast for a long time, Polaris Solutions, and I don't work for them anymore, so I'm can be free to say this. It's probably the best job I've ever had with the best people I've ever been around. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was the best learning experience that I've had professionally in the software world. And I just say all that to say this, they supported the podcast. They were a sponsor of the podcast. They are, it sounds like, going to continue to be a sponsor of our podcast. And I am without question going to continue to support them. If you have software needs, anything, agile coaching, enterprise level coaching, business coaching, software like development team, you need developers, you need to have a project, you need a solution, you need architecture, you need anything software related, and you're looking to bring in a consulting company that has teams ready to roll, you need to reach out to me, and I will put you in touch with Polaris, or just find Polaris online, polarissolutions.com. And I say that because I've got no skin in that game. I just know great when I see it. And I know great people that care about great products, that care about companies without a great, without an acknowledgement of necessarily the bottom line. They're sitting around saying, how can we provide value? How can we support? How can we build? How can we get this product and company further along? And if we're not the right people, we're not the right people. But if we are, we're going to do everything we can to get that product, that company, that team, those people there. And I don't have any skin in the game. I'm not receiving a paycheck or benefits or blah, 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 or anything else from that company. I just know great when I see it. And I saw it. I witnessed it. And if you have software needs, you reach out to me. I'll put you in touch with Polaris. And then usually we don't sell. But one, I just want to acknowledge the great experience I had there working for great people, great teams, great clients, blah, 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 all that, great leadership. But also they are going to continue to support this and they could be our sponsor of our podcast. And so that is kind of my plug for them and for our sponsor. So listen, I hope that you've enjoyed maybe me being back. I'm trying to figure out a strategy with my new job and the time to do this. It's Christmas season. I've got a bunch of Lindor chocolates here in front of me that I'm going to be downing as this podcast continues. And there's a lot. Listen, it's been a great year. Best year of my life. And I've reset that thermostat. If you've listened to our podcast, I used to have that thermostat set at 68, and that's where I was comfortable. And no matter how much I turned that thermostat up, by the end of the week, I always cooled it back down to 68. Over the past number of months, I've put that thermostat to 78, and I've kept it there. And I hope that you're coming up with strategies and solutions and tactics, and it's here in front of me. You are. I'm going to find it here in front of me, as it's here in front of me. You are your habits. You are your rituals, routines, and standards. That is you. And if we adjust that dial, you're always going to level it back off. This is all Ed Milet stuff. You're going to level that thermostat back down to 68. Well, you know what? I'm tired of 68. I'm tired of 68, even though I'm comfortable there. I have set that thermostat to 78. And last night when I was sitting around, I was thinking about my temperature gauge being set to 78, and I'm sitting around saying, it's not good enough. It is considerably better than 68. Considerably. But it's not where it's going to be. I'm going to figure out how to get that sucker up to 82, 84, 88, and then I'm not going to be comfortable there either. I'm not turning the thermostat down, I'm turning it up. And I hope that you will do the same in 2020. And I hope that your 2019 is kicked ass like mine has. It's all the people you are, the books you read, the people you meet, and how you connect with people. And it's the habits that you create. It's the rituals you have. It's the routines you keep. And it's the standards you set, right? Just set it up to 78 and then figure out how to get it to 88. Have a great rest of the week. Enjoy your Monday. I'm glad to be back. I really enjoy the podcast and enjoy any sort of value I can give to you. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll do more of these. Take care. Get out of your cube.